everybody say so long in America, you still have accent? I am the daughter of Elma and Roy. I name gal, I say.
This is East End Inc. Tonight we present poet Cheryl Boyce Taylor reading from her latest collection, Arrival. Ms. Boyce Taylor was born in Trinidad and raised in Queens, New York. She's introduced by poet, teacher, and activist Kathy Engel.
Cheryl Boyce Taylor is a poet who brings everything of life into the lyric, moving from form to form with a kind of graceful mastery that only comes from years of practice and discipline and a love affair with one's work. Fluidity, the sensuousness of language, the necessity of and delight in speaking, tasting, moving in one's original tongue, to revel in who one is, where one is from, connection to food, the life of color, nature, beauty, characterize Taylor's work. Banana leaf, breadfruit tree, mango, cassava, handmade underwear from the hands of ants, birth, separation, loss, birth, the in-between that is each day, walking on the tarmac towards a new life, leaving behind home, taking home with you, the harshness of a mother having to live elsewhere to take care of white kids. Cheryl's poems are life forces, nutrients as complicated, magical, and challenging as love itself. There is a kind of fierce loyalty that sings her verse. Loyalty for family, partners, friends, place, those who survive, and those who survive in one's heart. And loyalty to the craft that holds and feeds her. The poet Patrick Roselle writes, "In arrival, a body departs from beloveds, from family, from home, from the body itself, and returns to take shape in these gorgeous elegiac lyrics, wise and free and full of the weeping and laughter that might just help you survive." I can tell you that Cheryl Boyce Taylor's poems and her poet life embrace have absolutely helped me survive. Please join me in giving a warm Canio's welcome to my dear friend, the poet Cheryl Boyce Taylor.
I'm going to share a poem from my third book. It opens the collection, and it's called Poems of Glass and Bone, and it's for Audre Lorde. And I had the greatest opportunity in my life to study with Audre Lorde the very last semester she was at Hunter College. And there were so many things she taught me about poetry, mainly that it was not a luxury. Poems of Glass and Bone. Dear Audrey, what a river of poems you conjured. Daily I return to find your graceful hands laced with weapons, poems of glass and bone. Beloved, thanks. You have wired my cells a garland of white electric notes knitted to glass and stone, raffia and bone. Notes of pine needles, red sand, Spanish lace, dried magenta leaves. Day after day I hold your words, careful not to cut myself. Paint my face majestic blue, cerulean blue, sea green blue. Images fall from my skirt, expose cracked teeth and brown flaming necks. Poems writhe meridians along my kitchen floor. In this small light of evening, metaphors chase dreams. Who is that burgundy man in the wine cellar? The girl in Union Square, ocean folded blue in her breast pocket. Can you believe? Every night, something will disturb sleep. will rouse me until my pen bleeds blue onto white parchment. Who is this girl? Who is this girl writing notes to the hard earth when fire enters, leave bone dry? In 1950, my mother had twins, my twin brother and I. My twin brother was stillborn, and I survived. 20 years later, I had twins, and I had two boys. And my son, one of my twins, only lived for 8 hours, and my son, who, just bore a torch for the family. This piece is called Comets, about my mother's pregnancy and comets. My father draws a map, promises my mother the river, a mirror, pyramids. He grows her a lime tree and buys her a white coat of lamb's hair. My mother sits on the steps of my father's house, her waist the size of his grandmother's gold bangles. He's given her this glowing gem for her 24th birthday. Under my mother's floral waistband, my twin brother and I keep ourselves secret. We read tea leaves to decide who will tell. My mother is a canvas upon which father paints his arc. Father is a rocket, jets mother's heart. When moonlight softens the earth, they walk in each other's footsteps. My twin and I become comets. We lance them apart. My twin brother speaks, 1950. 3 nights my twin brother planned our escape. It's time to go now, he whispered. He said it so low, Mommy didn't hear him. Be quick, he said. Reaching for his hat, throwing me his raincoat, he moved towards the door. Come now, the hammock of his arms beckoning. I'm not ready, I said. He handed me the soft bread of his lips, the cool metal of his teeth. Sell it if you ever need shelter. Then he was gone. And so, having this child gone, my mother, it wasn't something that she liked to discuss, the twin that died. But once I asked her, well, what was his name? And she said, I didn't have a name. I only wanted a girl because I had a boy already. So, and I mean, it wasn't in a cold way. It was just like, stop asking questions. I don't really, she was born in 1925. And something about the way she was brought up in the Caribbean and rough times, they didn't want to go over all the rough things that they had experienced. This is a conversation that I had in my head many times with her. It's called Birthmark. Mother to twin daughter, 1950. You are my oar, pillar, half, my boat, looking glass, wings. You are my straw broom, promise me now, girl. You are my secret confessions. Kiss me, girl. Crack red dirt road. Sting, bite, raw. You are my village. Scream, breath. Daughter, you are my earth. You are my stain. You are my shame. My brave sunrise, moonflower. Moan, scream, sing, howl, salmon, butterfly, blue root. You are gospel, word, tree, black bark, cry, cry, serenade, break the night flap, fill my veins, light the city, crystal tail mermaid. So I'm going to move a little further. My parents were not married, but they lived in the same town. And so my father was a really wonderful guy, more brother than father, but that's okay too. Some fathers are like that. And while my mother was the main caretaker, my father, I spent a lot of time with my father and his family. So this is a poem that I wrote for my father. It's called Toko. And Toko is a little ocean town. It's an ocean town in Trinidad. This is for my father. The unfinished house in Toko, my father took me the summer I still loved him. Walls still unhung, he draped a sheet so I could change into my swimsuit. His limbs bamboo slim, he made ginger lemonade and sweetened it with old talk and fresh orange slices. The unfinished house in Toko, where later I waited for his 1960s green DeSoto to round the coast. I waited for a postcard. The wonder of the world leaf grew roots in my notebook. I waited for the flared crowing of his voice across water, the bend of his arms around my neck, a ruby necklace to be worn. I would say that very often mothers and daughters go through their own ways of separating, but it's the same with fathers for some daughters. So I went through a lot of struggle with my father when I was feeling he was not being a dad, but more of a brother and not as responsible as my mother. And so I went through some things with him. But, you know, you can't hold on to those things forever. I'm going to share a poem called Spell, and it's in Trinidadian dialect. Spell. I carry my big up self to Trinidad, hoping the seawater could wash away the bitter taste of Maljo blight that not-so-good woman leave in my house. A nasty wind blow in my face when I reach Tunapuna fish market. It nearly make me faint. I rush off the dam put taxi and ask the woman in the pretty guava sari and the blue henna painted hands, how much it does cost to light a white candle for broken hearts down here. She look at me good. And with a serious face, she said, candle ain't gonna help you now, missy. But hear what, and follow me good. Get a brasso tin and put your private business in it. Bury it on the first riverbank you see. Take two rum and wind your waist like it has spring. For 3 days, drink tea bag, black, no coffee. Take 2 sea bat. It go cut that Maljo blight. I given you 2 cigar. Light one for every sea bat. I go give you a small bag of vetiver grass. Hang it round your neck. Then go over say, 600, Miss Lady. 600 for what? I is the cheapest wrong here, ask anybody. And I don't want to fight this early morning, Miss Lady. Just pay me my money. Cash only. No credit card, American Express, nothing like that. Just cash. 4 weeks pass and nothing working. The vetty making me sneeze. The spring in my waist so rusty it break. And the rum giving me bad feeling. To tell the truth, I afraid seawater. And I was hoping to work half the spell, 'cause half the heart ready and the other half Still pending.
This is East End Inc. on WPKN Radio. We're listening to poet Cheryl Boyce Taylor reading from her recent collection, Arrival.
The Sea at Marabella, a memory that I had when I was a child. I spent a lot of summers in the southern part of Trinidad called San Fernando, for those of you who know it. And my aunt, my mother's sister, who is 97 years old and smart as a whip, and she's, my envy is something else. She's the, there are only two remaining sisters of nine. The Sea at Marabella. I want the pound of ocean by the sea in Marabella. I want my woolly fat braids tied to flying ribbons flapping like birds' wings. I want my stick thin legs running after Cousin Vilma's bike, begging, begging for a ride, mouth filled with salt air and nutty sand. I want the loose butts of old women falling out of their two small swimsuits, their eyes half hidden but under the rims of big Panama hats, their French Creole spicing up the dead jellyfish air. I want to churn the wooden ice cream freezer while the boys pack it with salt. I want my Trinidad, her chest a finely sculpted bamboo bowl, her shoulders the bright jawbone of God. I want to feel the sting of hot sand, the pound of ocean from my Marabella Sea. And while I'm here, I'm going to read the first poem in the book, and that's also in dialect. And it's a coming-of-age kind of poem where, you know, there's always a... If you're like a shy girl, there's always a friend who is not and who will pull you out of that shyness. So this is for my friend Dara, who was... people said she was a bully. She was not. She was just sprightly and wild sorrel. If them children hit me today, I go hit them back. What about you, Cheryl Allison? What do you go do? Praise Dara's dear and her spell of words. Praise my swift backhand and the girl that fell tearing her ass wide. Praise father who did not tell mother. Praise my shy girl learning to be tough. Praise the dust and the girl that rose. Praise the chest that puffed to bursting. The chest raised with new breast, tucked in blue bra. Praise the new breast. It was love, not poverty, that made my first homemade bra. Mommy and Tanti Verna's hands buzzed with the Singer sewing machine. They singing along to Calypso. One sister stopped to snap her fingers, shake her tiny butt. One ran the tap water a little till it ran clear. The other made the limeade, drank it without ice. One wiggled to young Elvis. He, the new blue suede shoe crooner. They, black ponytailed half girls, bright red bindi in the middle of their foreheads. Milk still warm in their green mango breasts. A hip slung low. A beige piece of moon bright in her narrow dress. My Trinidad. Her red Exora flush of dusk, her sugar diabetes running wild. At nine, the demon of menstrual cramps drummed all night. Mommy boiled wormgrass tea for pain. And every Sunday, Every Sunday, bike rides, tears, castor oil straight, and tears, and orange soda for chaser. Years later, orange soda would soothe my monthly cramps. Its taste reminded me of my childhood mangoes, its center jellied and damp as an inner womb, readying my ivory bowl for twin boys. Blessed with twins, one would stand before Oya, the other would clap and whirl, spin words. One would hear river talking, the other would write it down. One would change the world, the other would leave it. From wind's beak, once, fell two seeds, one a bird, the other a girl, turned wild sorrel tree. I name gal. I know who I am. Braided gal drinking cocoa tea, hands rooted in pigeon peas. My home name is Gal. Gal, where you going in your Sunday best dress? Gal, you still on that phone? Gal, back chat does get your back slap. Young gal, make up your bed, please. It ain't had no maid living here, you know. Yes, mommy. Gal, you must soak the fruit and currants in rum about 3-4 months before Christmas if you want good black cake. My whole name is Gal, with sugar diabetes, drinking bitter bush to cure it, but sneaking a little cake on the side. I name Gal 3. My home name is Gal. I remember who I am, braided gal drinking cocoa tea, eating fry bake. I make sardines and onion stew, just like mommy teach me. I remember who I am. I remember to say paliwal, not best friend. Remember to say bodhi, not string beans. Remember to say melon gen, not eggplant. Zabuka, not avocado. I remember to say, she bold face, fast and out of place. I remember I more bold than she. Everybody say, so long in America, you still have accent? I am the daughter of Elmer and Roy. I name Gal, I say. This piece is called Tools, like T-O-O-L-S. A woman's body has everything in it to save her life. If you must, use your legs as raft, heel as hammer, teeth as machete, monthly blood as healing salve, milk for building, breasts as shelter. Learn to breathe. Use your locks to suture every wound. Learn to scream, learn to scream, learn to speak. What I am saying, learn to live within the smallest muscle of your heart. Learn to speak, learn to speak, learn to live. This is my mother on the cover. When she passed 7 years ago, I knew I wanted to do something really special for her. And so this gives me great joy to look at the cover and see my mother. Arrival and elegy. On the day I arrive, my best friend will wake early and sweep the drain in front of she little trinket shop. She will put all the blue sequin bracelets and silver scarves up front. She knows I will try them on first, blue, green, yellow, then pink. Mom will peel a few grapefruits, those huge pink skin ones. They're sweeter than them pale, washed-out whitey ones, you know. That's her way to point up her feelings for white folks. Not too veiled, not too brash. She will fix my favorite peanut punch, add a dash of rum. The rum rarely for she, but she go pretend it for me. My father will put his arms around her. She will say, look, leave me alone, yes, mister? She will take a few sips of the peanut punch, then get back to her hat making. Peacock blue and yellow felt, bound by a shiny crushed velvet band. My father will put on coffee. He will sit on the front porch, chin in right hand, and greet every big bottom woman walking by. Once I get settled, Mom will come to my room and present me with my felt and velvet hat. Amid tears and kisses, she will say, what took you so long to come? Cheryl, I missed you. Every day, missed you. God. She will say, how's Malik, my darling boy? And your lady friend, Sini? You still with she? And Cheryl, why you wearing blue eyeshadow? What kind of color is that? Who tell you it pretty? You didn't find the right color for your pretty dark complexion in the store? But it's not everything people selling for you to buy, you know. Not everything, you know, girl. I thought I'd teach you better. Anyway, never mind all that. I have so much to tell you. Lord, Cheryl, you see your father? That man a change. And that was my mother.
This is East End Inc. We heard poet Cheryl Boyce Taylor reading from Arrival. The book was published by Tri-Quarterly Books, Northwestern University. Other works by Cheryl Boyce Taylor include the poetry collections Raw Air, Night When Moon Follows, and Convincing the Body. Today's program was recorded in July 2017 at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor. Ms. Boyce Taylor was also heard on East End Inc. in October 2012. The program is archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Some upcoming free literary events at Canio's Books, 290 Main Street, Sag Harbor, include on Friday, November the 24th at 5 p.m., author Lauren Brooke Eisen presents Inside Private Prisons, An American Dilemma in the Age of Mass Incarceration. More events are listed at canio'sbooks.com. Previous East End Inc. programs are archived online at eastendinc.blogspot.com, where you'll find a link to East End Inc. podcasts. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Catherine Zoka and Marianne Calendro. This is Hazel Kahn.